And so we have to prepare. Because how many knows when God Himself comes and He shows up, things get judged? How many knows judgment's not always bad? Y'all ain't saying much. Y'all go to court, what are you looking for? Good judgment, right? When you go to court, you're always looking for a judgment because you know judgment's coming. But you're looking for a good one. And God is coming. And He wants to bring goodness with Him. Now, trying to figure out where I want to go here. Let's go back to Isaiah 60. We read that last week, but I want to read that again this morning. I got a lot to say this morning. Listen, some of the things that I'm going to say this morning, how many knows we're going to have spiritual ears to hear them? God doesn't speak to our heads. He doesn't speak to our bodies. He speaks to our spirits. And the things that He says, they must be spiritually discerned. Glory to God. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness, God. Thank You, Father, that You love us, God, that You've always, Lord, wanted to come and dwell in and among Your people, Father. And thank You, Lord, that You're coming to us, Lord, in a greater way than You ever have before, God. Not only us, Lord, but the entire earth. Help us, Father God, to get ready, Lord, for Your coming. Not when You come to get us, Jesus, but, Lord, You're coming and manifesting and revealing Yourself, God, and pouring out Your glory, God, upon us and in us and through us, God. Help us, Lord, to prepare and to get ready. Father, help us this morning, God, to have ears to hear, God. Eyes that see, Father, and hearts, God, that quickly obey, God, that are quick to repent, God, that are quick to turn and obey You, God, and whatever that You say, Lord. Whether we understand it or we don't understand it, God, it makes no difference to us. Father, reveal Yourself this morning to us, God. Manifest Yourself in this house, God, and in and among Your people, Father. And Lord, we'll be sure to give You, Lord, all the praise, God. All the honor, Lord, and all the glory that is due unto Your name, O God. Help us, Father, to be reverent, God, of You at all times, Father. And Lord, we love You and we thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Now, we read here in Isaiah 60 last week, and this is not just a word, this is the word of the Lord. How many knows every word is good, but it's only good in its season? And I believe with all my heart God is speaking this to this church. And I'm going to read this in the King James. He says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come." He says, "And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." He's talking about risen upon us, each one of us. He says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." God's glory is His goodness. God's glory is His splendor, His majesty. It's also honor. Let's look at, I looked up the word glory in the Strong's Concordance in the New Testament and the Old, and pretty much all it says is weighty, heavy. One translation it says splendor, another one it says honor, you know, and I was like, well, God, that ain't really telling me a whole lot, you know. So how many knows when you can't get the definition from the dictionary or from the Strong's Concordance, the Bible will always interpret itself. It will always tell you what He's talking about. So let's look at that this morning. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. Now, I mentioned this last week, but we didn't read it, but we're going to read it today. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to read this in the King James Version, verse 1 through 5. It says, "Now Moses," now we know, we remember the story of Moses, right? And for any that don't, I'll try to get this just back up just a little bit. Moses was Aaron's brother. You know, he was not of Pharaoh's house or anything like that. But y'all remember the story, right? They was killing all the males. Pharaoh told his midwives and all them to kill all the male children that was born to the Hebrew people. And his mother had his sister put him in a basket and put him out in, what was it, the River Nile, I think it was called. Well, Pharaoh's daughter was out there bathing or whatever they was doing one day, and she saw the basket and she found Moses. And she didn't have any kids, and she took Moses to her own house. So Moses was raised in Pharaoh's house. Well, while he was there, after he grew up and everything, God began to call him. And he began to tell him, you know, I want to deliver my people. Well, let me back up just a little bit before that. That's when you get out to here. But before that, while he's having this on the inside of him, something rises up and he sees the Pharaoh's people or whatever. He's got God's people enslaved, and they begin to attack them and whip them and beat them and all this stuff, you know. Well, this was happening one day, and it rose up on the inside of Moses, and he killed the Egyptian, and he buried him. But he got seen. Well, I think it was the next day or a little bit later or whatever, two of the Hebrew children, they was arguing amongst themselves, and he starts to tell them, you know, he says, your brethren, you know, you ought not to be doing this. And they said, are you going to kill us like you killed the Egyptian? Well, he knew he had been found out. So anyway, he flees to what they call the backside of the desert, and he's been there for something like 40 years, I think. So we're going to pick it up here in chapter 3. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire. What did he say? The angel of the Lord appeared to him how? In the flame of fire. The Bible says our God is as a consuming fire. One of the things he consumes is sin. Right? It cannot stand in his presence. He goes on and he says, a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. In other words, we see it here, something catches on fire, you know, it starts burning up. But this bush is not burning up, but it just keeps on burning. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And then he began to tell him who he was. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of that. The Lord spoke to my heart this morning. I had never had this thought before. But I thought, I wonder why he told him to put off his shoes. Well, he told him there, he said, because where you stand is on holy ground. How many knows, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, there's four that stands around God's throne, and that's all they say all day and night. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. How many knows, whenever God comes to something, it's set apart. It's not common anymore. Oh, y'all ain't saying nothing. I mean, you're talking about the one that created everything you see, everything you don't see, everything you know about, everything you don't know about. We're talking God Himself. How many knows? He's not like anybody else. He's separate. He's different. He's set apart. And he tells Moses, he said, take off your shoes. He said, for where you stand is on holy ground. How many knows this is holy ground? Not because of this building, but because God Himself comes. Right? And we show up here expecting Him to come, don't we? We don't just come here to check a box and say, we went to our religious box and say, well, I went to church today, you know, check my little box, you know, my little religious duties. I read my chapter today, check off the thing. No, we're expecting Him to come, ain't we? Absolutely. Well, he told him, he said, take off your shoes, for where you stand is on holy ground. And I thought about it this morning. I'd never had this thought before. How many know shoes contain contaminants? I mean, who really wants to go around and just roll around Walmart's floor? Sure, Johnny. Even in my house, them kids drop something in the floor. Now, Aubrey, she's not too bad, unless it's something she really wants. Nathan, he's a little bit worse. You know, they got kind of a five-second rule. You know, they're like, especially if it's something that they wanted. And I'm like, don't eat that. But But it's grandma's house. What's it matter? There's still contaminants even at grandma's house. That's why I said, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. Do you realize the Bible says we are the temple of the Holy Ghost? God said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And see, he's coming. I'm not talking about when Jesus comes. I'm talking about God is coming to manifest himself in the earth like the earth has never saw before. Why? He has to, because we're in the very last sliver of the last days. And he says he's going to pour out his spirit according to Joel, right? And then Peter told it again over there in, what was it, Acts chapter 2 or 3? He told it again how God's going to pour out his spirit upon all the earth. Sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Old man's going to dream dreams. Young man's going to have all of that before he comes. How many knows? That's God manifesting and revealing himself on and in and through his people. But he told Moses, he said, take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. In other words, you got contaminants on them. How many know some of us, we have contaminants? And it might not be the things you would think. Because how many knows everything with God is about the heart? It's not always about these outward things that me and you can see in and on everybody. But it's the things, the hidden things that are in the heart. He says it's the things that comes out of you is the things that defiles a man, right? So he told him, he said, take off your shoes because you're on holy ground. In other words, they've got contaminants. And if you're going to be with me, there can't be any contaminants, right? So let's look at, and the word holy, I looked it up. That's that I just quoted, be ye holy for I am holy. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. That word means sacred, pure, consecrated. Let's look at Exodus 19 right quick, since we're here in Exodus. Oh, God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. You know, that's what he told them over there in Malachi 3. He said, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. He said, that's the reason why you sons of Jacob are not consumed, right? He never changes. People change, culture change, sayings change. I reminded, like, back in the day, you know, back when I was younger, what it'd be, you know, a nice-looking car, what we thought was nice-looking, or run fast or something. We said, oh, cool, you know, and then it became sick, and then it became bussing, and I'm like, bussing? What in the world is that? Bussing? What is it now, Chloe, do you know? I don't know. I think even bussing has gone out now. Come on, Abby, you help me. What is it now? What is it now? Uh-oh. Y'all ain't with the in crowd, the cool crowd, are you? Bussin', I think there's something beyond that now. Some of my nephews, they're saying, I can't remember what they say, though. Anyway, my point to all that is things change. Every generation has their own thing. They have their own language. I mean, you try to talk to some of these teenagers today, and I'm like, what are you saying? Cindy, have you noticed that? I mean, it's hard to carry on a conversation because they don't know what I'm saying and I don't know what they're saying. But God never changes. He always says the same thing. He always stays the same. That's why he is faithful. And he said, I never change. Things around us change. The church changes. Oh, come on. Church changes. I mean, a church got to change back. Let's read this here in Exodus 19. I want to read, I don't want to read the whole thing, do I? I ain't got time for that, I don't think. Let me see here. See if I can get this down to, anyway, God's coming to them. And he tells them that he's coming. And then in verse 8, Moses tells the people all God said, and the people says they'll do it. And then verse 9, let's see, how do I want to read this? Amplified. Verse 9, it says, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in a thick cloud. Now, we just got through reading where God appeared to Moses, how? In a burning bush, in a flame of fire, right? Well, he says here, telling Moses and the people, he said, I'm coming in a thick cloud. How many knows this is the manifested presence of God that you can see? Whenever God led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he led them out, the Bible says, a cloud by day, a fire by night. If the cloud stayed, the people stayed. I mean, and it stands to reason that God had to do it this way. I mean, because you've got over 1 million people, they say. I don't know exactly how many. Can you just imagine from here, 1 million people would probably go by, past my driveway. I mean, if we just spread them out. I mean, I don't know how far and wide over 1 million people would be. But how many of everybody could see that cloud in the sky if it was high enough? Everybody could see that fire by night if it was high enough. And whenever that cloud moved, that's the manifested presence of God, and God said, move. But when it stayed, God said, stand still, stay right here. Same thing in the night. It wasn't to shade them or to keep them warm or whatever. This is God's manifested presence, His glory. You're looking at God Himself. Then He tells them here in verse 9, He says, I'm coming. He says, in a thick cloud, He said, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you and remain steadfast forever. Then Moses said, told the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, go and sanctify the people. The word sanctified means set them apart. He says, set them apart for God. He says, today and tomorrow, and let the people wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the cloud in the sight of all the people. And you shall set bounds for the people round about, saying, take heed that you go not up into the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Now stop right here for a second. Y'all remember Uzzah whenever they was carrying the ark? Remember the ox stumbled and Uzzah touched out to try to brace it. Remember what happened to him? Fell dead. Some people see God as a killer because they don't know Him. God's not a killer. God never wants to kill anybody. God doesn't ever want anybody's life to be cut short. That's why He tells us in Psalm 91, He says, he that set his love upon me, long satisfied life will I give him and show him my salvation. And not just that place, there's other places. You know, I mean, even the heathen are promised somewhere around 70 years, you know, or you can cut that short. But He says His people are promised, what, 120? Long satisfied life God wants us to have. But the thing about God that you got to know and to remember when you know Him, God is all power. Every power plant in the world cannot hold a candle to Him. How many knows, especially if you're an Alabama power lineman, you know. There's laws concerning conducting yourself in and around power lines. Well, y'all ain't saying nothing. There was a tree limb blowed over on mine. I told this guy, I said, you're going to have to get that tree off. You know, it's pulling my power down, line down a little bit. Plus, it shouldn't be there or whatever. He said, I'm not messing with that. Normally, he just does whatever. I don't think he wanted to do it, Johnny. But anyway, he says, I'm not messing with that. So I called Alabama Power to get it off. Why? Because I'm not stupid. I'm not going to take a chainsaw out there and start whacking on that or an axe. Why? Because it's great power. That kind of power can kill you. Did that power want to kill you? No, but you broke the laws of being in and around that power. God is the exact same way. Ain't much of this been talked about in the church today. He said, I never change. That's why He gave them laws whenever they would enter into the Holy of Holies, the priest. Y'all remember that? They would have ropes tied around their ankles and they would have bells on the bottom of their garments. Why? Because if they quit hearing the bells move, is it because God wanted to kill them? No. Is it because God's legalistic? No. How many knows He does these things for our benefit? So that we don't get harmed. So that we don't die. Why? He's always wanted to come and be in and amongst His people. That's why He tells them here. He says, tell the people, sanctify yourselves. Set yourself apart. Because on the third day, I'm coming. What did He say? Go wash your clothes. Take a bath. Wash your clothes. What would He be saying to us today? Go repent. Cleanse yourself. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart for me. Well, we're getting really quiet now. And like I said, it's not always the thing. Remember last week God talked to us about the tithe? And what did God say about the tithe? He's always said the tithe is holy unto the Lord. Holy to the Lord. The Bible says the fear or the reverence of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. How many knows the greater the glory, the greater the reverence? Why, you don't just approach God any kind of way. But he said the tithe, he said it's holy unto the Lord. You don't just throw that in a basket and don't think anything about it. You don't just get up here taking up tithes and offerings and just act like it's nonchalant, it's nothing. It's holy to the Lord. And do you know that's the very reason why some people put their money in the basket but they never receive the promise of the Lord? Because they didn't treat it as such. God says He will honor those that honor Him. How many knows just nonchalant, throwing it in the basket, not tithing the tithe, it not being holy unto you, set apart unto the Lord. And do you know you don't take what is holy and use it for yourself? And see, God tells us all these things in His Word. Why? Because He's good. And He wants good for His people. He wants to bless. He doesn't want the devil robbing, and I'm not just talking about money, right? He tells you keep your mind stayed on the Lord. He said if you do that, He said it'll keep your heart and mind in perfect peace in Philippians 4, didn't He? Why? He knows the devil. The devil will rob you. You just let your mind run wild on anything it chooses or the devil chooses. You won't have a bit of peace. You won't have a bit of joy, and you will make the wrong choice every time. Because fear, discontentment, disturbedness will always be there. But how many knows in His peace you can make the right choice? Why? Because you're His sheep and you hear His voice. Let's get back to this. Y'all getting me off here. I ain't got time for all that. Anyway, He says here, verse 11, and be ready by the third day for the day. For the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the cloud in the sight of all the people, and you shall set bounds. Let me go on there. He says, whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. He says, no hand shall touch it or the offender, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with arrows, whether beast or goes on down. And anyway, that's as far as I want to read there because I only have 45 minutes. But notice what he said there. He said, consecrate yourself, set yourselves apart. God's saying the same thing to us this morning. Trying to figure out where I want to go here. Oh. Let's look at Matthew 3 right quick. I was going to just quote this, but I want us to see it. I think we need to see it. Verse 1, and this is in King James Version. It says, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now go over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Everybody that is, now in case you don't know, we have papers back there that is, each month we have a different paper or whatever, each month of the year. And on those months, it tells where we're reading in the Bible. Monday through Friday, we all read the same chapter, if you choose to. What does that mean? Why would we do that? Well, for one thing, how many knows that in your house, y'all were all eating the same meal? So you're all getting the same nutrients, the same vitamins, all that stuff. Some people don't read their Bible at all, and according to Scripture, it's spiritual food. Might be one reason why you're spiritually weak. Anyway, enough of that. But anyway, there's papers back there. So Monday through Friday, we all read the same chapter. I don't care where else you read the Bible. Read the whole Bible, except that day, read that chapter. How many knows that in our chapter reading, we just done, everybody that you've been reading your chapter, you just read 2 Timothy chapter 2. I believe that was Friday, wasn't it? Or was it Thursday? I know it was Thursday or Friday 1. We just read it. So we all should be familiar with it, right? If you've been reading your chapter. Ooh, y'all real quiet now. All right, so 2 Timothy chapter 2. I ain't even got over there yet. Glory to God. For the Lord is good, amen? And his mercy endureth forever. Second Timothy chapter 2, and I'm going to start reading in verse 19. And I'm going to read this in the Amplified Version. Now, just to back up a little bit, the verses above this or whatever, 14 through 18, he's telling them what not to do, you know. He's telling them, study to show yourself approved, shun profane and vain babblings and all of that, and then concerning the truth, some have erred and all of that. We're going to pick it up in verse 19. He says, but the firm foundation of laid by God stands, sure and unshaking, bearing this seal, this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names himself by the name of the Lord give up all iniquity and stand aloof from it. Let me stop here. That word iniquity in that specific scripture, it says this. It says wrongfulness of character, life or act, unjust, unrighteousness, wrong. So that's what he's talking about. Verse 20, he says, but in a great house, this is me and you. He says, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, he says, but also utensils of wood and earthenware, and some for honorable and noble use, and some for menial and ignoble use. So whoever cleanses himself, did that say Jesus going to do it? God himself going to do it. Who's going to do it? So whoever cleanses himself from what is ignoble and unclean, who separates himself from contact with contaminating, that's why he told him to take off his shoes, remember? Contaminating and corrupting influences. Sometimes this can be people. Sometimes this can be movies that you watch. Let me just go on before I start meddling here. Just read this. He says, corrupting influence, he says, will then himself be a vessel set apart and useful for honorable and noble purposes. God says those that honor him, he will honor, right? There's nothing God can honor us greater than with himself. Because there's nothing and no one any greater than himself. He says, consecrated and profitable to the master. Don't you want to be profitable to the Lord? See, when he comes, he's going to say to some of us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. But then there'll be some that, what's he say? You wicked, lazy, slothful servant. See, we don't want to think about the Lord saying that to us. But Hamid, you don't change the word. So we want to make sure we are some of the ones that he says, enter into the joy of thy Lord. Gosh, I got to go back to that. I didn't have time to read it last week. We started getting into it, but it's the parable of the unjust servant or steward. Y'all remember the parable where he said that he's going away and he had put this guy in charge of his affairs. And he would go out and he would say, okay, he would give a bill. He'd say, what do you owe my master, you know? And they would like say 500 shekels or 250 shekels or whatever. Well, the servant got found out that he's robbing the master. Y'all remember that story? He got found out that he's robbing the master. Well, then it goes on down and he talks about, he says, if you can't be trusted with what's another man's, he said, who's going to give unto you your own? And then he says, the true riches. The true riches is the anointing, the presence of the Lord, the glory of God in our lives. But if you can't be trusted with the tithe, listen, I don't even care. I mean, I got to do what the Lord says because he loves us. If you can't be trusted with the tithe, don't expect to carry a great anointing. Don't expect over there what we just read over there in Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. But how many knows when he says, if you'll be faithful in the small things, I'll make you ruler over much. But he goes on there and he says, if you can't be trusted with what's another man's, who's going to give you your own? thought about Peter. Y'all remember the scriptures it talks about in the book of Acts? They begin to try to put people just in the proximity, close enough to Peter, that his shadow would fall on him. Peter's not touching them. Peter's not praying for them. Peter might not even know that they're there, all of them. But when his shadow, it said that they had hope that they would be healed. Why? Because such glory and presence of the Lord is in Peter's temple. To where the glory of, how many knows, in the glory of the Lord, the presence, manifested presence of God, you ain't even got to pray for people. They just get healed. You ain't even got to preach to people. They just know. He's coming. But he says here, we're going to have to cleanse ourselves, right? And he went on here, and he said, let me go back. Consecrated and profitable to the master, fit and ready for any good work. He says, shun youthful lust and flee from them, and aim at and pursue righteousness. Now notice what he says it is. All that is virtuous and good, right living, conformity to the will of God in thought. Y'all come on. Word and deed. And aim at and pursue faith, love, and peace, harmony, and concord with others, in fellowship with all Christians who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. But go back up there and notice that he says, set yourself apart. Ain't that the same thing he told them in the Old Testament? He said, consecrate yourself. Go wash your clothes. Whatever the Lord is saying to you this morning, just do it. I know, how many knows I have to be first partakers of this? I hear it at home, and I know where I'm going when I get here and all that. So I should have done, partook of something of it, right? Well, the Lord began to, I thought the Lord was going to speak to me about something else, you know, because I know that's not too good either. But he didn't, Johnny. He spoke to me something else about that TV. Because, see, eating and TV is my two favorite things. Maybe they're not yours, but they're mine. So he began to deal with me about that TV. He said, don't, or he didn't tell me, but in my heart. And listen, this is not necessarily, this is not rules and regulations. It's, you do it because you want to. For an example, I don't even want to tell you this, but for an example, yesterday morning I got up. Scotty likes breakfast. I don't care for breakfast. I usually eat breakfast 11, 12, 1 o'clock, you know, and then I'll eat the rest of the day. But anyway, that may be when breakfast comes. But anyway, he likes breakfast. I mean, the man ain't, his eyes ain't even opened yet good. And I'm like, in the world. Anyway, I had this thought, go cook him some breakfast. I thought, I don't want to cook no breakfast. Anyway, I went and cooked him some breakfast, and I cooked me some breakfast because I was planning on eating breakfast later. And anyway, I'm looking at this, and I'm spending time with the Lord, you know, when I get up and everything. And the Lord began to speak to me about this. And see, food means a lot to me. I guess y'all can tell it's one reason I'm as big as I am. It didn't come by breathing air. TV means a lot to me. I like TV. Maybe you like fishing. Maybe you like hunting. Maybe, I don't know what you like, but I like those two things. Anyway, I'm studying this, and I'm spending time with the Lord and all that, and all of a sudden, I begin to see God. What am in my spirit? How big, how awesome that He is, how great that He is. And I was reminded, y'all remember the story of when David, they're in the battle, and he's thirsty. He's bad thirsty. And he says, oh, that I would get a drink from, I forget the name of the well that he called. Well, they were some of his people, some of his warriors, they heard that. They broke through the enemy lines, went over there and dug, got him out a glass of water, come back through the enemy lines, and gave it to him and said, here. He didn't drink it. Some might would think he dishonored them, but no, he didn't. He said, this is too great for me. And he poured it out. The Bible says, as unto the Lord. God says, those that honor Him, He won. So anyway, I'm spending time with the Lord, and I begin to see Him in that light and that scripture come to me. And I told the Lord, I said, God, I said, Lord, I give You this breakfast this morning as my offering. Why? It means a lot to me, Johnny. Might not mean that much to you. What means something to you? Maybe it's your money. Maybe it's your TV. I don't know what it is. But what is it that means something to you? And I told the Lord, I said, God, I give you this breakfast, Lord, as my offering, just like David gave that offering of water that they went and they risked their lives to get it. And he said, this is too great for me. And I said, Lord, I give this breakfast to you this morning, Lord, as my offering to you. And I fasted. You gonna tell me God's not gonna honor that? What means something to you and you give it up because of Him? Because you want Him more than something that means a lot to you? And I told him about that TV. He didn't make me do it. And I told him about that TV. I said, okay, God, I'm only gonna watch this and this and this and this kind of TV. Why? How many know sometimes there's contaminants in certain movies, in certain TV shows? Y'all not saying nothing. I know, I forgot y'all don't watch TV. Y'all sure like them games on them phones. See, what is it? I can't tell you what it is, Samantha. You can't tell me what it is. Why? Because you don't live in here. I don't live in there. But the Holy Ghost does. And not only that, but there's some things that we have going on in this church that God wants changed. Does it mean we've been sinning? No. Doesn't mean we've been sinning or anything like that. How many knows the Bible says we go from faith, or supposed to be, to faith. What's that mean? Progressive. You don't get to one level of faith and, woo, I've got it, I'm done. It's progressive. The Bible also says we go from glory to glory. It's progressive, or it should be. There's some things that we've been doing that I believe with all my heart God wants it changed. And a lot of it is not scriptural, or some of it's not scriptural. And I believe God wants it changed. Not that we've been sinning. How many knows when you do something in ignorance, that's one thing. When you do something in willful rebellion, that's another. Ignorance just needs knowledge. Instruction. Why? Because He knows we're willing to change. Now, rebellion is going to get judgment and dealt with. But we're not rebellious. One of the things that I believe with all my heart God wants changed is this clapping. Monty, would you come up here, please? And help me. Just come stand right here in the front facing them. Scotty, would you come please and help me? Just turn around and face them. I need some more. Johnny, would you come help me please? Go stand on the other side of Scotty please and face them. David, would you come help me, please? Gosh, we're picking all the men. Stand on the other. No, that'll be fine. Yep, you're good. That's right. I want Johnny, the last one. That's right. Okay. Beth, I don't care if you just cut this off or what. They're not going to be able to hear me. It don't matter. Or show them I don't care. All right. Now, this is what we do here. And God's not saying we've been sinning or He just wants to change. Because like the scripture that I brought up, the reverence, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The more glory, the more honor, the more reverence. Why? You can't handle and treat and be among God in your way. He's not coming. This is just an example. Dave is somebody out there. We want him to call you Dave. Okay, now, Dave, let's say Dave has a testimony of something the Lord has done, right? Okay. He gives his testimony, whatever that is and everything. We have, oh, good job, Dave. Good. Now, Monty, he is a great guitar player. Maybe not to the world, but he is to us. Ain't nobody here better than you, Monty. And then Monty, you know, he plays that guitar. Boy, he gets down on some of them songs, you know. He's rocking and rolling. And we say, oh, Monty, what a good job, Monty. Woo! Good job, Monty. Don't we? Yeah. That's what we did, right? Then we come to study. The Bible says give honor where honor's due, right? Yeah.
don't want to be in Scripture. So we thank God he did a good sermon. Scotty, you did such a good job. I'll tell you, we just love our little pastor, don't we? Same honor. Ain't that what he said we don't do? Like I said, God's not getting on to us. God's not saying we've been sinning. God wants this change. Why? Because see, the greater honor, the greater glory. And we can't give everybody and God the same praise, the same glory, and the same honor. The only place that I find in Scripture where it has clapping to do anything with God, it says, clap your hands, all you people, and it's in line with music of praise, giving honor and glory to God. But what I do find in other